Thanks for tuning back into High Hash Rate. Hope you guys are enjoying the content thus far. If you like the show, you know, you guys can reach out, send us a comment or a boost on your favorite Podcasting 2.0 app. We use Fountain a lot. This episode is 115 and marks our reemergence from our hiatus. So it's sort of a recap of what had happened. Interesting conversation nonetheless. Hope you enjoy. So do you think it's created this sort of nihilism that when you lie to, you know, you lie to a society for so long and then it's just
Nihilism is the number one. I mean, that's like, it's the old rant that American Hobo went on years ago, but calling the shitcoiners nihilist. It's true, mm-hmm. though. It's like, his meme coins are very nihilistic. Mm-hmm. The fact that the president of the United States, the day before he took office, launched a meme coin and rug pulled just a bunch of people. I don't think nobody blinked an eye. Nobody thought, it's not talked about anymore. He's not going to be held accountable for it. But that is only because we're so nihilistic right now.
Hey, everybody. This is the High Hash Rate Podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dan.
And this podcast is just two plebs getting high and talking about Bitcoin, life, and the absurdity of the fiat world. Our guests don't necessarily get high with us, and you don't have to either.
But it helps.
Welcome back to High Hash Rate. We made it. We made it back. It's been since, what, October of last
October
year?
So 13th, it was our last record.
Okay, so yeah, it was.
No. We had our little outside deal that it's going to be released before this episode.
Yeah. But that was all still before the election. And we all know what happened in the election. We talked about it leading up to it, I think. I don't remember the political conversations we were having back then, but either way, a lot has happened. I don't think anybody expected what's going on right now in politics, which is Trump is just like super focused. He's not, you know, just getting in Twitter fights and like battling out. He's just doing whatever he wants. New headline every day. And weird. It's kind of crazy.
Did you hear this like clip of him, like an Afghani lady was like,
yeah,
what are you going to do to like recognize the Taliban but she has like a thick accent.
No, he's like, you have a beautiful accent. I'm sure you have a beautiful, beautiful story. But your accent, while it's beautiful,
unfortunately,
I can't understand you, but peace be with you.
That's just next question.
Right. That's like this. The man has answered every crazy goddamn question that has been asked of him, or like, you know, just like at the debates and interviews, the good ones and the bad ones. They've impeached him. He's been shot. They tried to sue him. They're trying to throw him in jail. They tried to like take him off the ballots. And listen, I'm not like a Trump supporter.
Are you a Trump supporter?
No. Like, I'm not a Trump supporter. What I will say is, at this point, he's answered enough questions. So if you have a boring question, or you're just trying to ask like something, like it's not like, what does it matter what Trump thinks about Afghanistan anymore? Like, who cares? They're shooting rocket launchers on TikTok, but like they're not planning 9/11s anymore. So I feel like just, you don't got to deal with that one. Just move on to the next one.
I keep thinking like, well, especially back then, I was thinking like, she's going to win. You know, I just felt like we're going to end up.
Oh,
in
you
that.
Did? You thought that?
Yeah. I felt like we're going to end up in that alternate reality.
No. I never did. I don't know if I said it on here, but I've been saying it as if he goes into the primary, he's going to win the Republican primary because the Republicans are so weak. Like nobody, maybe DeSantis, because Florida like was crushing it as the like Republican thing during COVID, because it was like, you know, you don't have to wear a mask, there's no COVID lockdowns, blah, blah, blah. But did he, like, Trump steamrolled him once he went into the primary? He didn't even go to the debates. I was like, oh, yeah, if he came back from, like, if whatever they said he did, the coup, the January 6th, if he comes back from all of that, then I think that people are just, they're giving up. It's like, we can't stop Trump anymore. He's still coming. The dude has cardio for days. It's like in the UFC, like this, it's the 19th round and this dude's not even sweating and you're gassed. And people are just like, all right, dude, whatever. The economy, it's not that bad. He's not that bad. We survived the first 4 years. We can get through the next 4 years. I don't know if we can get through the next 4 years with the Kamala and the Democrats. They seem as tired as me from having to deal with Trump. They're going to get steamrolled. And that's what happened.
How do you think he got all this power? Like the power to be able to, like basically the invincibility mode on, you know, Goldeneye. He just like walks around, takes shots.
He is definitely abrasive. He says like things that, even if they're true, I don't care. It doesn't offend me. I think it's funny most of the time. But some people, they just can't handle that. And I can't remember where I was going with that, but I'm sorry, I'm stoned. This is high hash rate. I do go off on those tangents sometimes.
Well, I think he's become like sort of a mythical creature in a bit of sense. Like when you think back on something like a Caesar or an Alexander the Great, you know, the names that pop up in history, I start to wonder like where does Trump fit in that?
Well, yeah, okay. Here's what it boils down to for me. We're finding this out. So like one of the big things in the news this week is that Elon Musk, and this is, I swear to God, an accurate description of what he's doing. It's like him and a dozen, like 21-year-old, 19, a few teenagers. They're super autistic. They're probably all taking a shitload of Adderall and they're going around with Elon Musk, like building the building. And they went to USAID, and USAID is just like this weird, small, it's pretty small overall. Government agency that is
USAID.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
it's disguised to sound like a charity. USAID, yeah, of course, sure. That's what it is. But it's not really a charity at all. It's like a weird thing where they launder money for the, you know, intelligence agencies launder
and
money.
That's all
the
coming
defense
out.
Industry launders money to.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the point of that thing is to like, it's programs that are supposed to like counter Chinese influence in Africa or in any other region. Either way, what they were spending, like we're finding out that they were spending all this money on was, programs and like puppet shows for non-binary puppets in like Nigeria. And like, yeah, like Sesame Street, like Elmo went to talk about genders and stuff in like Serbia on like a special tour. And they were buying like Politico. They were basically propping up the website for politics called Politico, which was just, is just like the internet CNN.
Yeah.
It's just stupid. But, I think people are looking at that and they're like, they know what the CIA, they know what the defense industry is really doing. They're fucking around with shit overseas. And it's like, if we're going to be spending like $1 billion a year to try to like, you know, further American interests, counter Chinese influence, whatever you want to say, I don't think this, you know, sending like tickle me Elmo to Kenya for the kids in Kenya is a better use of that money than Elon Musk and like 20 autistic teenagers on Adderall, just like, you know, spreading memes on Facebook, like community places.
So it seems like the Twitter has kind of merged with the, you know, with the America's message in a way.
Who merged?
Like X itself has like,
yeah.
Like the message of America is now coming through.
Well, Elon Musk basically had to buy it.
Yeah.
You know, when he says it's like, about free speech. He cares about free speech. I'm going to spend $40 billion to protect free speech. Yada,
you believe
yada,
that?
Yada. It sounds nice. I think that he believes that, at least to a good extent. And I think that that was definitely part of what gave him the, like the, you know, it's risky to try to say, I'm going to spend $40 billion to buy this social media app that is bleeding money. It's never really been a valuable company. It's just full of like the most toxic people in the world screaming at each other all the time, and politicians and like Russian bots. Like, that's a risky thing to buy and then take private. And then it's like the value's collapsing. He's like, not making any money on it. It's like, I'm sure he has ulterior motives. And I think we can talk about those because they're very obvious at this point. But I still don't think that he would only buy that and go through that much risk for the ulterior motives. I think he does care about free speech as part of the package for why he did it. Now, it's clear that like that's not the only thing he cares about, or even cares about the most, because I don't know if he did it, but he learned, if you don't censor people, you get more honesty. And if you get more honesty, the data that you are able to feed into your AI algorithm, language model, or whatever you're using for like analytics to understand, everybody, or like, what is the mood and the topic? What do people really think? What are people really doing? Well, if they're not censored, you're going to get more honesty. I mean, that honesty might be pretty bad, but it's honesty. And so he had better data than Facebook and all these other, platforms. Then he like jumps on the bandwagon with Trump. Well, why do you think he jumped on the bandwagon with Trump? Do you think it's because he really, really, really admires Trump, like he says, and like has come along or come around? Or is it because he had the data to know that, way more people support him than we thought?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you think
but
that
then
that
we realize. And like,
that was the turn of events.
And the mood, the conversation is turning mm-hmm. very drastically in his favor. At least much more than, the average person kind of thinks. And you know that, right? Like, because he won the first election against Hillary. Like, he was way down the polls because they were afraid to say that they supported him. Like, whether it was, they weren't afraid they were going to get arrested for it, but. They didn't want people to know. It was like a social thing.
Social pariah.
But then he wanted to surprise everybody. And so people thought that was going to happen again in 2020. And it didn't. He lost. We could go into the 2020 thing. The fact of the matter is either people and or the deep state didn't want him to win. So he didn't win. Doesn't matter what, they think the votes were. The system did not want him to win. So he didn't win, and it was a little testy. But anyways, here we are now, and still, I think we're underestimating how popular he is right now, and how he is becoming. And I think the danger is that he is being like very bold, very decisive, very effective, at least on the surface. And a lot of people just seem to be kind of supporting it. And then like it gets out of control. I don't know. I don't actually think he's going to turn into like Hitler or the next dictator, but Trump probably gets a little too cocky, which he seems like he is, and just does something really stupid. Like say, we're going to occupy Gaza, which he just said. Yeah. So it's like, maybe his Hitler's big mistake was he started the war on both fronts. He was fighting Western Europe and he was fighting the Russians, right? And it was too much and they got caved in and they got obliterated. Same thing Napoleon did. He tried to fight a war on two fronts. Is Trump going to, and I'm not saying Trump's going to necessarily start the next world war. In fact, he probably is the least likely one to have, let that happen. But his, battle, two front battle is going to be like trying to fix the United States. and trying to bring peace to the Middle East. You can't do both of those things.
I mean, I think he's certainly done, I mean, from what I've seen, you know, I can't speak for like any personal, you know, effect that has had, but I know my feed has changed quite a bit since he's come into office. And that's interesting just to see. But it goes into this bigger idea of the like an age of truth of, you know, all these things to be revealed, you know, JFK files to be unveiled, the P. Diddy files, the Epstein files, the all this stuff sort of deals with this unveiling, this truth coming to light. And
yeah,
and I was just afraid that if Kamala was, you know, to come in office, that we would just see, we would totally bifurcate. Like it just would, there's no way I think we could ever come back from that.
Right. I think almost maybe ironically that it seems like we have gotten to the point where, yes, we're going to get, like, I guess, documents that say what really happened with JFK, you know, what happened with COVID and Fauci and with, I think there's other ones, like 9-11, they're going into 9-11, they're going into everything. But Diddy, like you said, but I don't think anything that they find matters anymore, because I think just the fact that everybody kind of just agrees now, okay, unload those confidential files.
Yes.
Because whatever you're saying, we don't believe you.
Yes.
Whatever these conspiracies we thought we had, there's something to them.
Yes.
It may not be exactly what we thought it was. It may not be exactly what was on the covers of the memes, but it's probably close. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And there's, you know, what are we going to learn once we get in there that we don't already know? So, like, we just found out that USAID has been spending billions of dollars trying to make people gay, non-binary.
Sending condoms.
Like, whatever.
To,
like, just trying, Gaza. Yeah. Like, but maliciously, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, we know that. And now we just look, you just got to look around and be like, we already knew that. Of course we knew that. We already knew that. We already knew. Did you know, the meme is, did Bush do 9-11? Well, it depends on what you mean. If you just mean like the government was so lazy and apathetic and like just asleep at the wheel, not taking their duties seriously. It's just a big corrupt system. Because of that, nobody paid attention to the fact that dudes were like training to do 9-11, you know, in like four different cities. It's like, did their negligence or just like, was it like, yeah, it's their fault that it happened. Doesn't mean that they planned it themselves, but like, what's the difference at this point?
Well, there is a difference between a plane flying into a building and then, you know, speculation on a missile being shot into a building.
Oh yeah, I don't think that the message at this point is, was it a missile? Was it a plane? Was it, you know, who was flying the plane? Was it a military plane? Who shot? Yeah. At this point, it doesn't matter. It's been so many decades. We already know, as
you've been lying,
as a country, right? Like that, it was one of those things. It wasn't what they told us. It was just one of those other things in one of these different orders. And like, they've been psyoping us and covering it up since. We go in, we dig it out, and like some people are like, all right, finally, I have the answer. I was right. It was fucking the Jews or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, somebody online will be super hyped to be able to say, I called it. That's why they were hiding, whatever. But at the end of the day, back then, we didn't want to tolerate the conspiracies. Like, nobody wanted to admit that their government would do that.
How could they?
Their troops were patriots. We got to fight terrorism. We are obviously good. And obviously, only evil from the other side of the planet could do this to us. And now we're like, oh no, dude, the government would definitely do this to us. They are trying to turn us gay. They are trying to make us fat. They are trying to get us sick so they can sell us medicine. They are trying to crank up the price of insulin. And then they're also trying to give us sugar and pop and candy. So we need insulin so they can jack the price up even higher. It's like, yeah, they are doing that to us.
And so it kind of takes all these like internet sleuth, you know, emergent people that come up to expose this thing. Because back then, you know, you have the video footage that comes up on CNN. Everyone's watching the same damn thing. And we all sort of get hypnotized into the same story.
Right.
And no, so now
and nobody wants to be like in polite company. And somebody introduces you and you're like, this dude's really into InfoWars and Alex Jones. It's like, come on, man. Like, it's like, it's funny sometimes I listen. It's like, I don't believe it. I'm not like super, I'm not QAnon. But at the same time, a lot of people, if you bring up any of those topics, that's like immediately like what you get associated with. And there's a lot of pressure to, I don't know. Some people think it's the CIA trying to do it. I think it's really just the result of society being like, we don't want, you know, this is the narrative we're trying to stick to, but we're willing to believe in you're saying some stuff that makes us feel uncomfortable and we don't want to deal with that right now. But now everybody's so uncomfortable. That's like, yeah, what other conspiracy theories do you have? Because I think that this shit is fucked up and there's got to be an explanation.
And I also think that the release of Ross is so pivotal as well inside of this story of this sort of age of truth that I'm talking about. It's like this, because this dude, what did he do? He created something that was, he basically gave Bitcoin a use. It's like a use case in a big way. And by doing so, you know, he probably understood the truth factor or like what this money could actually do or what it actually means to be able to control your own money. And by locking him up, I mean, that was obviously a very clear sign to anyone, you know, don't try this, you know, don't expose anything like this truth. This is our truth to expose, not yours. And so his release is part of this big narrative, I think, that's this wave of truth that's coming in. I mean, I think,
yeah,
I mean, it got a lot of play, you know, but I think it's underplayed in the context of history, you know, and how it's gonna, it's like, I think those things go hand in hand.
And I think the friction and the stress in the system, so to speak, or like where it's like the difficulties, the conflict it's going to cause in society and families and relationships or whatever, whenever politics at least is the topic of discussion, is that some people, half the people, when you say like we're entering this age of truth, they are super relieved, they're stoked about it, and the other half is going kicking, like they do not want the truth exposed. And it's not everybody, I don't make the distinction, but I think it's not like this centralized plot that I've like, it's more of a lot of people have a lot of regrets and things that they did and they don't want to dwell on it. They don't want to like, they don't want to bring it to the surface because they're guilty. It's not that they're like trying to like enforce some global conspiracy. It's just like, they don't want the truth to be exposed because their ass is going to be exposed with it.
Brass. I mean, that's my entire family is in that camp, I think. My entire family is posting memes on the opposite side of like Trump let go, you know, a murderer, that's someone who, you know, hired a hitman to kill these dudes and was a drug dealer. It's just crazy to think that, you know, they're out there thinking these things and like,
well, Trump, I like not as like an intentional action, but just by the nature of who he is and the way people respond to him, the way politics and the system responded to him when he first became president, exposes truth about other people, about the system, right? And that's what kind of he was doing at the beginning, right? Where he's like saying, Hillary's bashing me with all these things about evading taxes, et cetera. But it's like she's, her donors are the ones that wrote those laws.
Mm-hmm.
She pushed for them. Well, they give her money. That's what they're all doing. She's taking money and associating and relying on people who do the same thing. She's just accused, basically accusing me of being, you know, unfit to be president because I do that. And there was a bunch of different cases like that, where it was just like the spoke in the wheel that like everybody starts to pay really close attention to politics because Trump is just so insane. And they're, you know, whether it's anxiety of what he's going to do, or they're giddy because they want to see what he's going to do next, or it's just a freak show they can't turn away from, or just, you know, the TV, every channel's talking about it, is now everybody's paying really close attention because everything Trump does, they think, you know, it could be the end of the world or the best thing ever. But just by nature of that attention being paid, right? Now everybody's seeing how corrupt the Bureau of Labor is, the Department of Health, the CDC, because they're just paying so much attention, because of that attention that Trump drew to it. Not for good reasons either, not because he was doing well last time, right? And that's just kind of what's happening again, except for what was kind of the headwind for him to do that was he does have a bad rap sheet. He's a gross dude. He's a fucking smarmy dude. He's not trustworthy.
Used car salesman.
He's a dick.
He's used car salesman.
Yeah, he's a sexual harasser. He's probably a sexual abuser based on the definitions and the way they framed it. Yeah, he probably did that. Are we going to pretend that billionaires don't get to grab more pussies than regular people? I'm not saying that doing that isn't, you know, abuse, but if you're a billionaire and they do let you, it's just a little different. It's just a little different. That's all he was saying. It's just like the dude's like, hey, I'm just saying. But he's been through all of that. They've litigated everything. They've called him Hitler. They said he was paying porn stars. They said he lied about this. They impeached him. He's a felon. He's a convicted felon, right? But he was still popular after that. So they ran out of things. And so now there's a million corrupt, hypocritical people, or like all the other politicians, none of them are any better in most ways than Trump is. He's just very honest, I guess, about it, for better or worse. So now it's just like when the truth is being exposed, right? Like everybody's trying to say, well, the person exposing me is a hypocrite, so, you know, you shouldn't listen to them or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, you can't point to Trump and say like, oh, he's such an asshole. He's an adjudicated rapist. We've heard that before, but you're still corrupt and we're going to learn about it because you've been hiding it. We know about his. You've been hiding yours. So we're going to find out yours.
You think like something like the Me Too movement was a lefty sort of ploy, or is it part of this age of truth?
Right. That's part of the age of truth too, right? Because there was a lot of people who took some strays, who were collateral damage, and who got crucified.
I'm thinking of like Louis C.K. being
right.
One of these.
It's and not that they. It's didn't similar to Ross. Like, so the people at the beginning of the Me Too movement, like Louis C.K. is like kind of like Ross. It's like it was early, big target, big headlines, make an example of them, set the tone, you know. And then a lot of people were doing the same thing and were way less bad, not even related to what Ross was doing. Just people like Diddy and Epstein were doing way worse things. And like nobody, they're not getting in trouble for that, right? So,
not yet.
Man. But like they're not getting double life sentences. You know, so it's, you know, did Ross break the law? Yeah, the laws like as they were written, yeah. But no worse than anybody else. So like Louis C.K. was what he did worse than a lot of other people? Probably not. But there's a whole bunch of other comedians who got like almost no cancel or like career that got affected, even though they did way worse shit. But the point of it was to like raise the fact that that kind of shit does happen, and it is a problem. I mean, they blame it, you know. Women might, or not women, but the Me Too movement will go on, you know, blogs and Twitter and have in the news and blame a bunch of shit, and they have a stupid argument. But you know, there was a reason that problem had to boil over, had to be a huge discussion and argument in society for a few years, and then everybody kind of just settled on a consensus and moved on. And we're going to like settle on this consensus about trans sports and trans people and pronouns and who can be in the military. We're going to kind of, it's already happening. It's already kind of settling down. Trump's basically taking all these things out. And then probably in the next few years, nobody's going to be like fighting to get that stuff back in. It'll just kind of level out. We'll forget about it. You know what I mean?
When was that switch though? You know, I don't think you can
like narrow it down to like an hour or a day. It's just, it's a slow evolution. I mean, it probably hit its peak around COVID and started to come down. Yeah.
No, I think COVID was the switch.
But not like the beginning of COVID. More of like the instead, not the, you know, not that initial, well, that initial lockdown and all the craziness and everything, right? Like that is part of it, but it's really like a couple years later when we started to realize it was all, you know, this was all bullshit.
We're all like putting on these fucking masks outside, walking around, can't see each other, can't go out, don't even want to go outside, afraid to go outside. The you get your food delivered to you, you clean it. This is what I used to do, is clean that shit with fucking Clorox,
I don't think I ever cleaned
with Clorox fucking wipes. I have less than a 1-year-old running around the house, scared out of my mind, you know, what is about to happen. And, you know, as you come out of that, it's really like you, it's like coming out of like a Diddy party. Yeah.
It's trauma. It's definitely trauma. PTSD, trauma. Some people will like resist that and be like, oh, I never fell for the scam.
Most
people did, but even when you came out of it, like a lot of people came out of it really quick and was like, all right, this is a scam. Got me for like a week, but this is a scam. But then, you know, their trauma was the fact that they had to exist in this really intensely scary world where everybody really believed in the COVID psyop and was like very willing to throw other people under the bus or just like accept really crazy restrictions, et cetera, because they were scared of the psyop, right? And you had to like exist around like all these people who were NPCs. And you're like, holy fuck. Because the NPCs will turn on me. What if they turn on me? But I know it's all a scam. And that kind of gets bigger and bigger. But at the end of the day, everybody came out of it with trauma.
I mean, I was like a block away from the BLM riots in LA watching dudes walk down my street with, you know, these signs with masks on, you know, ready to go fight the good fight. The fucking sky was orange from the fires that were going on at that time. Not to mention the fires that just happened. You think, you know, you're like a new father, and you're thinking like, what world have I brought this child into? Like, is this, you know, you said earlier, like Trump says something and people are looking at him to say it's the best thing ever, or it's the end of the world. I mean, that is, it's incredible the amount of power that this system has managed to, you know, grab hold of, that it can sway people
about
in that way.
Think about, just for a second, is like, where is that power? Who has that power? Or like, what is the lever of power? Like, where does it exist here? Because
social media, I would say.
Now listen, well, my point is,
sure,
everybody's hanging on every word that Donald Trump says right now. Is it because it's Donald Trump, or is it because he's the U.S. president, right? Because you should think, like, a month ago, it didn't matter what the U.S. president or vice president said.
Because it wasn't him
saying
it.
Nobody took it seriously. Nobody cared. Nobody paid attention. It didn't matter. But that was still the presidency. He was still the president. He still controlled, you know, so we thought, the nuclear codes. So who had, and I think this is what, like, liberals and Democrats are so worried about with Trump, is that whatever limitations are on the office of the presidency, with Biden, that didn't matter because there was countless people throughout the quote unquote deep state, was just basically anybody in the federal government that had some power in the positions they were in. And they didn't, you know, we thought that Biden was making those decisions, but really it was like Terry at the CIA. And whatever they wanted from Biden, like, it didn't matter because, like, Biden couldn't do it for them. He couldn't, like, even execute it. He couldn't even, like, follow through anyway. And now Trump's in here. But either way, there was still a lot of power that rested in Biden being president. But now Trump's in power, and he's got all the power Biden had, but way more.
Yeah, he's got the people.
So he was signing a ton of executive orders last time. Nothing happened because nobody did anything. Now people are, like, doing stuff. And I think that's why, like, liberals are worried. It's like, people are going to go January 6th again for Trump if he wants them to. And that, you're probably right. It just depends on what happens, because if he wants people to go, you know, charge, show up, protest, take over, overthrow it, they'll try. They're just jealous that they don't got a president. If they told them to do that, people would be like, nah, I'm good.
I think the only thing that pulled me out of this like madness was not just Bitcoin, but it was the community. You know, that's sort of, because in a big way, it's, you know, it's a mirror. I think it's been described as a mirror in a lot of ways, just because it's, so, you know, Bitcoin, you can use it however you want to. So it's, it sort of reflects your own passions or desires. And when you look at the community of Bitcoin, they reflect back at you either the ugliness that you have or the beauty that you have, or, you know, because of the truth they wish to tell. I think that's, there's something there. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah,
I would,
like,
just say that's
yeah,
what pulled me out of it.
That's good. That's good. Bitcoin or the community, a combination of the both. But a lot of people, they found a podcast or they found a book or they just found it on the internet. They found it through the memes and they just went down the rabbit hole. And it's like the, like back with like I said, Trump, like peep the way you respond to Trump, or just the way he makes people respond to him, it exposes things where it's like, COVID was a pretty turbulent, scary time for various reasons for different people. And at the time it was like, this is not the type of situation or crisis that Trump was really, we need him to be president for. Like he's not the guy that can handle a crisis like this or whatever. He didn't really handle it well. I guess it could have been worse, but he didn't handle it well. So like people voted for Biden because they're like, all right, everything before Trump is kind of normal. We'll go back to that, any of that, just not Trump. We want to go back to normal. Biden, Democrats, Obama was great. That's what we thought. Let's do that. And then Biden gets in and he's like got dementia and it's just a bunch of like crazy woke DEI, whatever you want to call it, people running the whole thing. And one of the, you know, and then you find Bitcoin, you're like, this is dependable, verified, you know, it's got all these qualities, security, for, you know, stability, yeah, privacy, when you name it. And that's, we got none of that out here.
Accountability.
In accountability. Nobody wants to take accountability for anything in the government. Nobody, you know, the money, all this money, obviously my savings comes down to, you know, what these dipshits in Washington who are trying to turn the frogs gay and put fluoride, you know, make us fat, give us diabetes, turn us woke. This is what, they're also the people that are managing the money right now and the economy, and they can't manage anything else well. I need something better. So they find Bitcoin. And then through Bitcoin, you start to find other people who got it. And that's really just like, whether they're orange-pilled or it's just like somebody who also had the same realization that they had to take personal responsibility. And so, you know, that's how the network started growing.
And I certainly start to think back about all the content I used to consume back then. I was a big fan of like John Oliver. I was a big fan of John Oliver. And John Stewart, Daily Show, and Stephen Colbert. Can't believe I couldn't think of it. Steve Colbert. So I was a big fan of, I was a big fan of these shows that they would produce. You know, John Oliver had...
You were like consuming nothing but CIA content.
Yeah, this is what's sort of fucking crazy about to think about.
That's why you were such a pussy during COVID. You were just doing nothing but reading CIA psyops for years, and you loved it.
Well, I thought it was funny. I mean, they would make fun of Trump. They would, you know, you mentioned something back there about turning the frogs gay. I mean, that was a famous quote from InfoWars and Alex Jones. And he was, you know, emphatic about saying turning the frogs gay. The water, they're putting stuff that turns the frogs gay. And that little line snipped out, of course, put onto the Colbert show, and he just, you know, or it was John Oliver, and they ripped it, you know, ripped him apart for it.
Oh, yeah.
And that stuff, it just kept on, you know, you start to have all these, like, memories of the things that you heard back in the day of being, you know, truth.
Right.
You think of, like, that's, like, what is this other side of thought that, it's just crazy. These people are crazy.
Yeah, I think you asked when that turning point was. And I think for everybody, just happened at different times. It was when you realized that, oh my God, they are turning the frogs gay. And if they're turning the frogs gay, What else are they doing?
What else are they
because
doing?
Because everybody, like, there was no way. It was kind of like, yeah, I'll believe that when pigs fly. It's like, all right, if I'm willing to admit that they are turning the frogs gay,
I'm probably ready to admit a lot of things.
I mean, there's a tweet circulating around about it shows like a cow floating in the air. You know, it's just floating there. He's like, normally I would ask questions, but since the last 3 years, I just decided to keep driving just because.
Right, right. Yeah. There is very few things you could, you know, like they come out and they say, hey, tomorrow we're going to have a huge press conference. Aliens are real. And we're going to show you one. And people were like, all right. Whatever, like, and then they just went on to make memes like about aliens, like the alien. I'm gonna fuck the aliens, or you know, I wonder if the aliens will like to listen to Bitcoin podcasts. And it's like they didn't care.
So do you think it's created this sort of nihilism that?
Oh, 100%. I don't think we have ever.
You know, you lie to a society for so long, and then it's just.
Oh yeah, nihilism is the number one. I mean, that's like, it's the old rant that American Hoddle went on years ago, but calling the shit coiners nihilist. It's true, mm-hmm. though. It's like his meme coins are very nihilistic. Mm-hmm. The fact that
wow.
the president of the United States, the day before he took office, launched a meme coin and rug pulled just a bunch of people. There's no, he's not going to report that on his taxes.
Did you sell any crypto?
And nobody, I don't think nobody blinked an eye. Nobody thought, it's not talked about anymore. She's not going to be held accountable for it. But that is only because we're so nihilistic right now that as a society, that's the only way that's possible.
Yeah, man.
But that's the problem, right? Because it's like, look at Gaza. It's without getting into who's right or who's wrong. Gaza is a horrific. What has happened there over the past year and a half is horrific. For most, there's a lot of people tragically killed, impacted, whatever. Horrible. And not only that, it was like broadcast in HD. Every like blown up baby, every like assassinated person, every like whatever happened. Like the October 7th itself, like they're parading people around the Israelis, and then the response, like all of that broadcast a million times on the timeline. Most of the time it's not blurred anymore because it's just like, you know, some blogger. And
everybody saw that. They saw the Ukraine stuff, all the bodies, all the trench warfare. And now it's just like Ukraine flag in bio, opinion doesn't matter.
If they were so nihilistic. And people are getting set on fire on the subway. People are setting themselves on fire at the, like,
oh, that's right.
The embassies in DC.
I believe that's called a self-owning meme.
The dude like assassinated the CEO of the healthcare company.
That's
and, like,
right.
It was just like a meme about how hot Luigi was.
Cybertruck blew up.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Yeah. Yeah. It's, we're numb. But on the bright side, if they ever tried to do like the COVID lockdowns or like the social distancing, they ever tried to do any of that again,
mm-hmm.
absolutely would get ratioed on Twitter, yeah. And nobody would do a goddamn thing they said.
So it has made us stronger in some respect.
But at what cost?
That
is the cost, right? If you're going to really have free speech, you're going to have to exit
the matrix, basically.
You're going to have to just kind of tune out or keep scrolling when you see like dudes that are like, this is why I think Adolf Hitler is the best man alive or best man to ever live. It's like, all right, got to keep scrolling here, because then you're going to get the one where it's like, actually, I think Mao Zedong or whatever, or Joseph Stalin is brat. It's like, all right, I got to keep scrolling here. Let me go to the timeline where everybody's just posting Bitcoin memes. It's a lot.
I mean, I recently spoke about this. I spoke about this on the Bugle recently because they had me on, and it basically summed up, like, you know, we are in that matrix question. Like, if you take the red pill, you have to deal with all of the, basically it makes you stronger because you understand truth, but you have to deal with the reality. And that's, man, that's a hard, you know, do I want to eat that steak and wish I could just go back? You know, you start to think, you know, what was I before, and what have I become?
Right. It's, you have to deal with the fact that in 2025, the person you tried to orange pill in 2020 is texting you again and asking your opinion on XRP.
Oh my God, it happened. And you're like, it has happened, yes.
Yeah, and you have to like deal with it. That there's these people that people are still gonna buy Doge and XRP, and they're gonna shitcoin, and they're gonna, all the things where you're like, there's no way that people are gonna fuck up. We're gonna make this mistake again. And they are. But because you are orange pilled, you will not make any mistakes.
Well, here's an admission. I don't know if I'm fully orange pilled or ever will be.
Yeah. I thought for the longest time you were like way more, and then towards the end you're like, I'm not even orange pilled, man.
I don't even know, man. I'm taking microdosing here and there. I mean, I certainly don't shitcoin anymore, and I understand the dangers of doing that, but I say that and then I'll take a breath before I admit what I'm about to say and get all of the hate that I'm sure I deserve. But, you know, I see this MicroStrategy thing and I'm like, should I shitcoin again? Should I give it a try again? Is it a shitcoin? You know, well, does it have all the properties of shitcoin? Well, some of it is properties of shitcoin. I mean, it's like control, you know, I don't have access to that, you know, this kind of money, you know, it's not money. I can't send it. But I took a dip. I dipped a toe and I tried it out.
You're a MicroStrategy guy now.
I've tried it out. Yeah.
Did you, I'm going to guess you lost money, didn't you?
No. I mean, no. I'm sort of even keel, you know, it's,
I got a bunch of MicroStrategy in my like IRA. My dad, here's the thing. I'm not telling anybody to buy MicroStrategy. I don't feel guilty about buying MicroStrategy. You shouldn't feel guilty about buying MicroStrategy, but I know personally that the MicroStrategy, well, I up pretty big because I bought it pretty low, but I also bought a lot when it was higher too. So I'm not like completely all in early. But here's the thing. I know that's a pretty risky one, and like it could go well, or I could be fucking pissed, but I got, yes, you know, whatever. And I'm not telling people to buy MicroStrategy. I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm kind of rolling the dice with it, thinking,
yes,
maybe it will.
It's a gamble.
Maybe it will. Maybe it will go up. But,
yeah.
And my dad, I tried to tell my dad not to do this. My dad, he has Bitcoin. He's good. But he just unloaded tons from his IRAs, his retirement accounts. And he is retired. And he got big. He's like on the MicroStrategy Reddit. He's sending me videos. He's like reading 20 articles a day. He's watching every city. He's getting like, he's going through the ups and downs. He's like, he gets like really bearish and like He's like, Michael Saylor's fucking up. He's buying too much Bitcoin too fast. He's like diluting the shares. I'm like, that's what he said he was going to do. We had an hour long conversation about this where I told you not to buy more MicroStrategy because you don't know what Saylor's doing and you're not going to know. You don't know what you're getting yourself into.
Right.
And he said he agreed. You know, he's like, you're right. And then he went and bought like tens of thousands of dollars more.
Wow.
Of MicroStrategy, like, you know, when it was going up. Either way, he's still doing fine. But I'm like, damn it, Dad. I told you to just get the hardware wallets and put it on there. And you went and we both degened on MicroStrategy. That's, I don't feel guilty, but here's the thing, I don't feel guilty about it. I'm not saying anybody else should do it, but if you do it, don't feel guilty about it. Just do it.
I feel somewhat guilty, you know.
Why do you feel guilty? You were buying the Bugle thing. You were talking about buying like beautiful babe NFTs.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. That's something to feel guilty about. That's like, I found Jesus, you know, I found Jesus. I accept Jesus Christ. You know, I eliminate shit coins from my life. I get rid of all of this nonsense and I accept Bitcoin in a beautiful way. And I understand, you know, I understand like why everyone's so, you know, maxi about it. But this part, you know, this little purchase, I feel guilty about it because it's, you know, I never wanted to pose as a max. I don't think I could consider myself a maxi because, again, I'm like on that scale. I think of it like Christianity, like you have to, it's on a scale. You know, there's a certain amount of Christian you are, and that's, or Jew or whatever, you know, depending on the amount of sins that you wish to participate in or not.
Yeah.
Or in the Jewish case, it's like, how many Jewish laws do you wish to abide by or honor? You know, if you don't wish to abide by this many, then you're this less of a Jew, you know, the same thing applies in Bitcoin. It's like, you can never reach Satoshi is the Jesus Christ, you know, if you will. Yeah. But we're all trying to like attain that goal.
Yeah, but if you pay attention for 5 minutes anymore, you realize
it's just hard for me.
That, I mean, look at it, it's like it took like 2 days for Ross to get out of prison, and like people are like all over the timeline, like Ross is a shit corner, he sold some NFT, Saylor's a shit corner, blah 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 blah. It's like, it doesn't matter whatever you're talking about here. Like, I have to purge shit coins from my life, purge the pretty lady NFTs.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you do that or not. If you do it, just do it because you don't want the shit coins anymore.
Yeah.
You're like done gambling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you're done collecting weird things that your wife doesn't know the private key to your pretty lady NFT wallet, whatever it is you were doing here. Not because you don't want, you know, plate licking HODL or, you know, Pleditor, ghost of Dick Whitman. You don't want them to call you a shitcoiner.
Oh, I have to tell you.
Who cares? They're going to call you a shitcoiner no matter what you do.
Can I show the dog? I got a dog. That's a huge, this is like, that's bigger than having a dog.
That's exactly what you needed, was more responsibility and time commitment.
Yeah. Check this guy out.
Oh, yeah.
Lady.
Is that a?
It's a.
That's like, it doesn't shed, no hypoallergenic.
A multi-poo, yeah. A multi-poo?
Yeah, that's what I kind of figured you'd have if you had a dog.
Sucky. Fuck you, did. Oh, shit. Oh, but, you know, the story is, you know, heartwarming. It's a heartwarming story.
Did you steal that dog? Like, its owner's house burned down and you got it?
Back in Malibu. Cool. I was strolling around Malibu looking for...
Well, if you found it in Malibu, then at least you know.
No. It was a text message from a teacher. We were talking about getting a dog and then... It's like, you didn't want to look around for one, and there you go. But shit has changed. That's just what I'm saying. It's like, you start to take on more responsibility. I have definitely realize like how I've been on the operating system that I've been on for a good portion of my life is pretty much the wrong it's like an old operating system, very, very archaic. You need to get out. So, you know, you wake up from all that and then you're like, God, what? I have to do this and this. I have to learn this and I have to learn that. I mean,
yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. You know what else is a lot?
What's that?
Kids and a dog. So if you can stick to that, you can figure out how to, you can figure out how to use a hardware wallet and a node.
I got to get the node down. A start nine. I got to get a start nine.
No.
That's, no, don't like get to, a start nine.
Listen, first of all, I don't want people to think that it's because Start 9 is not a good product.
It's not.
I have heard nothing but good things.
Okay.
My reason is because it's pretty expensive and it's like for high powered, you know, power users. It's like the first time you go skiing, don't spend $5,000 on like the clothes and the gear and the goggles. You can just do Bitcoin Core on your laptop and, you know, with a hard drive and connect it to your wallet and use
can
it.
You really?
You do not need to spend. I mean, if you do eventually figure out how to connect to a node and actually send a Bitcoin transaction, you may continue to do that. And then you may you may be using it multiple times a day. You may be building a business off of it. And then you buy a Start 9. But start with a BTC Sessions tutorial on how to do it on your laptop and see if you can do that.
And that's a good challenge. That challenge.
What did J.D. Vance, the vice president, they asked him, like, how are you going to deport all these millions of people? He said, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
One bite at a time,
yeah. You just take one bite at a time, Mike. Just, you know, figure out how to even download Bitcoin Core to your laptop and get it running and find a hard drive, plug it in and sync it, you know, and then spend $1,000 on a node.
Is it really $1,000? Jesus.
I don't know. I do not know enough about nodes for you to take my opinion seriously, except for that Start 9 is good. It's just for power users.
Before we wrap up, I do, you know what I really wanted to do? I think I spoke about this a bit on the Bugle episode, but I do want to say, like, I don't know if it really matters, but some people that reached out was very happy about it. You know, they wanted us to continue. It gave me personally because I just got burned out is what really happened. You know, October came around. A lot of stuff had happened personally. I think I spoke about that. But, I moved, had to get into a new spot, and everything just sort of blew up. And keeping up with the show just seemed very difficult to do. So I had to take a hiatus. And so now that we're back, I just want to, you know, thank everyone that was supportive and all the people that reached out and wanted to come on the show still, you know, and wanted to see what we were doing. And, you know, when are you guys coming back? So thank you guys.
Yeah, the community brought you back.
That's true.
They brought you in, they brought you back. See? And that's the beauty of it, right? You don't even know how to use Bitcoin. You don't have Bitcoin. You don't know how to use it. You just like the memes and the podcasts.
That's right. I do.
And people still let you in the community. They welcome you back with open arms. But now that you know the people respect you, now it's time to respect yourself and learn how to set up your own node.
That's true, man. It's a good place to end it, probably. You know that I told you my hard drive totally failed, right? Yeah, I told you.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, this is a good talk. We could probably wrap it up here. What have you been up to since we last
We can get into that as we go on to the new 2025 iHash Rate podcast. We're going to be interviewing people. What have I been up to? Just working too hard, hanging out with my girlfriend. But I got, like you said, I got theories. I've been thinking about Bitcoin in an interesting way since then. But
have you? I look forward to hearing about that.
That's what we'll get into as we continue back on.
All right. I'll cut it. Thank you again for listening to the High Hash Rate podcast with Dan and Mike. If you want to learn more about the podcast and see what we're up to, you can find us at highhashrate.com. Or if you just want to speak to a couple of baked ADIQ plebs, reach out to us at hello@highhashrate.com. Or you can reach out to us at the High Hash Rate handle on X. Later, everybody.
Holy Toledo!